on BBC Radio Derby. Good morning, Sally Pepper with you till 1 o'clock. And, well, a couple of weeks ago, when the Loudmouths were here, we were having a discussion about the possibility, and the story, of course, hit the news, about the Derby student who might get to stand on Mars as he's in the top 100 candidates for a one-way trip to the Red Planet in 2024. Do you remember us talking about it? One of the Loudmouths, as we were discussing this, implied that it was unlikely to happen as we haven't managed yet to stand on the moon, which prompted the whole discussion about conspiracy theories. It's not just the moon landings. There's so many different conspiracy theories from big events through history. And some of them, you might think, what a load of tosh. And then other ones, you kind of think, oh. And then you start to read a bit more, or you hear people talking about it, you think, well, actually, is everything that I've been told really what it seems? Or should I open my mind a little bit more to the possibility that maybe there are certain governments through history that might have wanted to cover things up? It's been known to happen, hasn't it? Well, I have in front of me a local conspiracy theorist, Andrew Johnson. Good morning.
Hello, Soleil. Thank you very much for inviting me onto the programme.
Well, you're very welcome. I would imagine, and you can tell me whether this is otherwise, if you tell people what you do, and if you start talking to people generally about some of the big conspiracy theories, what kind of reaction do you generally get from people?
Well, I mean, what I've found over the last few years is people are very frustrated that they're not being told the truth about many things. And I get quite a lot of email now because I've worked very hard in the last 10 or 11 years to find the truth about some of the things, like you mentioned, the moon landings. And I think the whole term conspiracy theorist, I regard it almost as racist, like, you know, being called a racist or something, or being of a certain, you know, race, that I'm somehow of lower intelligence or something like that. Because that term, you know, you don't hear the term alternative knowledge investigator, which is what I would call it. You know, my background is...
I've never heard that
no,
term.
No, it's not a term that's
alternative
used.
Alternative knowledge investigator.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or
so that's how I should have introduced you then.
Well, that
have I already
been,
offended you?
Well, it's not really, because it's something that you kind of come to expect. But my background is in software engineering, and I work as a part-time tutor for the Open University. So I've got to make sure that what I'm saying is correct and it is true. And so that has been my goal in the last 10 years, looking into all these things about where we're not being told the truth. And there's a whole range of topics, and we're not going to get time to cover them all today. And am I allowed to sort of mention my website here so that people can go and find
you
more information?
You certainly can, yeah.
So if you want to find more information about what we're talking about today, it's checktheevidence.com. And I do encourage people to look at it. If they find that something they think is totally crazy, then they can ring me up. You know, my phone number's on there. They can send me email. I'd encourage people to do that, you know, and challenge me if they find anything that's wrong. If there are any mistakes on there that they, you know, can show mistakes, I want to know about it.
Have you changed people's opinion? Have you had
conversations
where people are very adamant, oh, that's a load of rubbish, and then you've turned them completely around?
I get people writing to me occasionally saying I've completely changed their life. I've completely changed their outlook of the world. You know, and I think if I was to go into some of the other things that I wanted to talk about here, then, you know, people would end up wondering how they possibly came to hear the most important information they'd ever heard on a Monday morning local radio program, you know, because we're really talking about things that would, if, you know, more of the truth was known, it would change the world completely beyond any recognition.
What made you start all this, Andrew? Where did it all begin? Was there a particular event and you thought, I need to look into it, or how did it all start?
Well, I mean, we're going to talk about other things, hopefully, but the thing that kicked me off, in summary, was when I found out about an event which happened in 2001, and it was called the Disclosure Project, which was an attempt by an MD in the an emergency room doctor called Dr. Stephen Greer. He was trying to get to the truth behind the UFO issue, or as much as he could. He organised a press conference where he brought forward 20 witnesses who worked in the Army, who worked in the Air Force, and worked in things like the Federal Aviation Authority in the US. And he got them to testify to their experiences related to UFO incidents, landings of craft, even, you know, sightings of aliens and this amazing sort of thing. And I'd never...
So did this bring in the whole Area 51?
A little bit, yes, yeah. Yes. And he, this event was completely covered up, you know, and I realised that because I'd not heard of this until 2003, when I kind of stumbled across it, I knew that this had been covered up. And the media reporting for that event, when I actually found out what was said and I watched the recording, you know, the 2-hour-long thing, I realised it was totally inappropriate that these reports were completely, you know, disproportionate to what had actually been said. And that's what I found with most of the other topics on these websites that you get. The actual key facts are almost never reported, or if they are, they're only reported once. And then, you know, they're not reported again. So I've now become something of a magnet in some ways for people to say, oh, Andrew, what do you think about this? Why are we not being told the truth? And I have certain, you know, opinions about that, which we wouldn't get time to go into today. But, you know, so a lot of people expressed their frustration to me that we're not given the truth about these things. And the really important things, issues to do with health, issues to do with technology, issues to do with energy, issues to do with terrorism. You know, we're not being given the truth. And I can show that conclusively. You know, and I get invited to give talks around the country. I got invited to give a talk in Italy, in the Netherlands. So this is not something which is just a hobby, you know, it's actually a vocation for me, because I've come to know and understand, and it's not a belief, it's a knowledge, that this is vitally important that people come to know these things.
Okay, well, what we're going to do is we're going to go through some of the, well, we're going to talk about the moon landings. I think we'll certainly touch upon that one. We're also going to talk about whether Paul McCartney is actually dead.
Yes.
Which I think probably most people laugh at when they first
hear
that one.
They do, they would, yes.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that. There are more besides, and if we've got time to squeeze more in, we certainly will do. But I know when we get into the nitty gritty of all the detail, it can take longer than you expect. And of course, if there's a particular conspiracy theory that you want to join in on, if you agree, you disagree, with what Andrew's saying and the facts he's putting in front of you, then it's, well, basically everybody's invited to join in this morning. 01332 616161 is the way to get in touch. You can text, of course, with your thoughts as well. 81333. Start your message with the word Derby. And we'll get stuck in after Betty Davis Eyes.
2-1-0. All engines running. Lift off. We have a lift off.
That's one small step for man. One giant leap for mankind.
But was Neil Armstrong just about to step foot on the moon when he uttered those famous words? We're talking conspiracy theories on the show today. Andrew Johnson is here. Did they land on the moon then?
Well, I used to believe that they did, but now I'm probably 99% certain that it never happened as we were told.
They didn't land on the moon.
No. And again, if you want to establish the truth, don't look at theories, look at the evidence. Go for the evidence, and you look at certain, you can look at physical evidence that they've alleged to have got from the moon landings, and you can look at what people have said. For example, I've got a quote here from 1953 from Wernher von Braun, who is the father of the Apollo rocket program, and this is in his book, The Conquest of the Moon. And he wrote in that book, "It is commonly believed that man will fly directly from the Earth to the moon. But to do this, we would require a vehicle of such gigantic proportions that it would prove an economic impossibility. It would have to develop sufficient speed to penetrate the atmosphere and overcome the Earth's gravity. And having travelled all the way to the moon, it must still have enough fuel to land safely and make the return trip to Earth. Furthermore, in order to give the expedition a margin of safety, we would not use this one ship alone, but a minimum of three. Each rocket ship would be taller than New York's Empire State Building, almost a quarter of a mile high, and weigh about 10 times the tonnage of the Queen Mary. about some 800,000 tons. And that's from Wernher von Braun, the father of the US rocketry program. Now, that book is now a bit difficult to get hold of, but I think there are some. It's gone out of print, etc. So, you know, how do you explain that? This is a guy that's saying that if you look at the numbers with the Saturn V rocket booster, I think it was something like 200 times too small, based on those figures that von Braun had given. Now, of course, you can
But the Apollo space program was experimenting before they even got to the Apollo mission, sure, that, of course, took Neil Armstrong and team to the moon.
Allegedly.
And surely that was the experiments were part of that to create that vehicle, to be able to make it break into pieces and to be able to have a smaller craft to land.
Right. But, you know, again, that you look at the difference between getting into Earth orbit and getting to the moon, and it's a whole different ball game, because when you go to the moon, you've got to slow down and then land and have enough fuel to take off again. You know, and there's a very good book that people can read. It's called NASA Mooned America by Ralph Runay. And he goes through a lot of this and he looks at the figures. And, for example, it looks at how they would navigate, how you would navigate between here and the moon. That's actually a very difficult question. It's something that not many people think about, how you keep the spacecraft pointed in the same direction. You know, and they say they did it with radar and this sort of thing. But when you look at the resolution of radar, It's not high enough. Another quote I'd like to read out as well is from Neil Armstrong himself, who allegedly landed on the moon. Now, there's a clip that you can watch, an event that took place in 1994. It was on the 25th anniversary of the alleged moon landing. And I'm going to use the word alleged deliberately, in the presence of President Clinton. And he said, on the 20th July.
Who said?
Neil Armstrong.
Right.
Neil Armstrong said on the 20th of July, 1994, you can go and look at this on YouTube, "Today we have with us a group of students among America's best. To you we say we have only completed a beginning. We leave you much that is undone. There are great ideas undiscovered, breakthroughs available to those who can remove one of the truth's protective layers. There are places to go beyond belief." Now, I don't know about you, but if I was Neil Armstrong in the White House on the 25th anniversary and I was looking back at that event, I would be saying something like, well, I didn't really do a great deal. You know, I walked on the moon. I flew the ship. We had a fantastic team of engineers, you know, that developed all the technology and this sort of thing. Those are the sorts of tributes and accolades, you know, and I thank the American public for, you know, allowing us to go there. He didn't say that. He's talking about truth's protective layers. Now, and then you find out other things about Armstrong, for example. In 1994, I didn't find this out until a bit after I'd heard about that speech, his marriage, I think, of 38 years broke up in the very same year, in 1994. And if you look, he very rarely gave public interviews. I think he only gave about 6 public interviews, some of which I've collected together. You know, and there's loads of other evidence as well. I mean, I've got a
What's the splitting up with his wife got to do with anything?
Well, I think he was under a lot of personal stress, psychological stress. So I think that was having an effect on his marriage, because they were living a lie. You know, they were living a lie. And that's why it put stress on his relationship. And
Buzz Aldrin has done loads of interviews. I mean,
he was a very public figure.
So.
Correct. And you can find that he's also been not telling the whole truth about what he said as well, because I've got another example of him contradicting himself, whereby, for example, somebody asked him a question that did he take a Masonic emblem on Apollo 11 to take with him to the moon as not exactly a souvenir, but and then he denied doing this. But then I found a copy of a letter that he wrote to the Masonic Lodge saying that he was proud to carry this Masonic emblem on Apollo 11. So which is the true story? I mean, again, if you listen to enough of what Buzz Aldrin has said, you'll find he contradicts himself. you know, and I can document that if anybody wants to, for me to point it out to.
Okay, I'm just, as you're talking, Andrew, I'm just reading a couple of messages here as well on the text. 81333, start your message with the word Derby. Kev in Ilkeston says, check out a leaked document in 1972 that states a manned moon landing in 63 to recover a crashed USA nuke platform that came out of orbit 6 years before the 69 landing. Does that mean anything to you?
I've not heard of that document, but again, things like that are very difficult to corroborate. Might be true, might not be true, unless we've got, for example, somebody who'll go on record, submit an affidavit to court to say that this document is true. I tend not to go with that. I just put it in my, you know, sort of, I don't really know basket, you know, my grey basket. So I wouldn't go with that. But if you listen to what the astronauts have actually said, and there's a very interesting documentary called Astronauts Gone Wild, where Bart Sabrell, who's an American researcher, he goes round and asks them questions about the moon landing. And I would, you know, it's deeply troubling to watch that documentary when you see some of the reactions that they got.
There's another one. I'll just read this one out as well. This is from Nathan. Morning, Nathan. Andrew is absolutely spot on. I've watched much research by Richard D. Hall.
Yes, he's my friend. Yeah.
We are being kept in the dark and lied to on a monumental scale by the mainstream media. So I'm to blame then, am I?
Well, media not you personally, lies. Sally.
Media lies. The evidence of the research does not, says Nathan.
Well, this is what you've got to...
Is it media lies?
A lot of it is, yes, sadly. And I've documented that. That's what my book's partly about, at least partly about. But it goes much deeper than that, sadly. And I think one of the things we were talking when the music was playing was, what's the motivation? What is the motivation? That's one of the stumbling blocks. Immediately you present somebody with an alternative set of information, as, you know, as we were discussing. Mm. Why? Why are they going to do this?
Well, yeah, I mean, well, answer that question then. You've given snippets of evidence.
Right. But so let's talk about the Apollo. Why would they fake that? Why on earth would they fake that? Well, let's look at some of the reasons. We know that in the 60s, for example, the Vietnam War was going on. And that was, of course, a huge kind of disaster for the American image, if you will. I don't know quite the words to put it, but... So the moon landings, and this was something my brother actually said in the 70s, he suggested this, that if you have the moon landings where America's brilliant, it's at the forefront of science and technology, it helps to sort of take the bad image of the Vietnam War, sort of reduce that a little bit.
So it's a shifting focus.
It's political motivation. The other thing that I've come to understand as well with Apollo is that it's a way of siphoning off funds into what are called black programs. You know, and I've spoken to somebody, in fact, I've got 5 hours of interviews that on my YouTube channel, who worked in Area 51, who knows all about black programs. And I think part of the motivation for Apollo was so that they could siphon off a lot of money into what are called black programs. You know, and people don't get to know about those unless they do some investigation.
Okay, what we're going to do, because I'm wary of time and I don't want to run out of time and I don't want it just to be about the moon landings. So we've talked about the moon landings. Of course, if there are conspiracy theories that you want to kind of throw in the mix as well, feel free. 81333 is the text number. Start your message with the word Derby. You can give me a call. 01332616161. Let's talk about Paul McCartney. Apparently, Paul McCartney's dead.
Yes, I mean, this is one that is a real... problem as well, because I actually remember I did come onto your program in 2007 and we did discuss this, and since then I found out a little bit more. And sometimes what you'll find when people start to investigate these, call them conspiracy theories if you will, or these issues, as perhaps I would call them, they set out to debunk them, you know, to prove them wrong. And I was kind of reawakened to the issue with Paul McCartney about 3 years ago, 2012, where I came across a blog that somebody had sent me a link to. And what was on this blog surprised me, because it was an issue of the Italian Wired magazine, you know, Wired magazine is a very popular magazine, the Italian version, not the English or the American version. And it had an interview with two forensic specialists. I can't remember off the top of my head their exact fields of specialism, but they were involved in forensics of one kind or another. And they thought this Paul McCartney thing was a load of rubbish, you know, we're going to disprove it. So what they basically did was they took the pre and post 1966 photographs of Paul McCartney. For example, one of the things that they do, and you know, this, they do this sort of thing with in police studies, if they want to try and identify somebody, they took the photographs, overlaid them so they got the same facial shot, equalised the distance between the eyes, and then when they did that, they could see that the shape of his face was different. So you've got physical evidence showing that there is a problem with the pre and post 66 Paul McCartney. Other photographs seem to show that he grew 2 inches in height, but pre and post 66.
Because he's supposed to have died in a car crash.
Well, again, that's where the story becomes a bit more sketchy. Some people say he died in a car crash. Some people say that he was shot. I don't really know what happened to him. But the evidence appears to show that the pre and post 66 Paul McCartney's are physically different. They have a different face. And you can see this as a site called Digilander, where you can look at the pictures. And again, I'll say to anyone, don't believe me. You know, if you're operating on belief, it's not a good thing. You want to operate on knowledge. You've got to know this for yourself. So if you think what I'm saying, I'm just bringing it off the top of my head, write to me and I'll send you the links and you can make your own mind up. You have to think for yourself.
I've got a little snippet. We'll just hear this just very briefly. This is a snippet of John Lennon in an interview. I think it was back in 1975. And this is just a comment that he makes about their music and their lyrics.
All our messages were subliminal, you know. Meaning we were sending messages out, all right, but...
Yeah, but what kinds of messages?
Just reporting on the state we were in, you know, looking back on it.
Now, this is where they're playing back at one of their songs, and, of course, their song suggests if you play the lyrics backwards, and you can do this with quite a number of Beatles songs... It says something else. So there are a couple of songs where it does
back
appear
masking.
To be saying, Paul is dead. Like, literally,
I've
Paul
heard
is
of
dead.
This. And again, that's something...
Number 9 is lyrics from one of their songs, which is, it was supposed to be the 9th, the date was the 9th of November, 66.
I don't know about that. But
and so again, yeah. That's referring to, I mean, but you see that and you read about that and you think, oh, come on.
But this is something which is much more speculative. I mean, that I think they probably were certain things in the song. Some of the lyrics are very strange if you re-examine the songs, but it's not the same as physical evidence. You couldn't submit the evidence for lyrics like that and, you know, an interpretation of them in a court of law. You can submit photographs. For example, in a court of law, photographic evidence. So I tend to go with that as much as possible and then look at the things like the lyrics as possibly circumstantial, possibly supporting evidence. But it's the lyrics issue and the, you know, like the cover of Sergeant Pepper's, which was one that I first heard of many years ago.
Because Paul's back is turned.
Yeah, that's right. And there are a number of things about that. It is very strange when you start to study it more and more. And somebody wrote to me and they'd done this whole study on things like the Rolling Stones and their involvement in this, you know, and she was looking at how other people in the business must have known if this really did happen, if McCartney really did get quote unquote replaced or whatever word you care to use. Other people must have sussed that, and she was looking into that side of things, you know. But if you can stick with the physical evidence, that to me is much more powerful and much more conclusive.
What would you say, because we're running out of time now, Andrew, what would you say to someone listening now? We've only touched upon two. There are so many conspiracy theories out there. If someone listening now is completely sceptical, is thinking, Andrew's talking a load of rubbish, there are no conspiracy theories, don't be ridiculous, what would you say to them?
I'd say you need to do a lot more research, and, you know, the biggest one that I've done research into, I'm just going to mention it briefly, is 9/11. Mm. That I've done a lot of research into, and that the events there were recorded, you know, this isn't a conspiracy theory. Multiple video cameras, multiple news sources, thousands of witnesses, you know, all of this, there's so much evidence, you know, it's just... It's incredible what's there, basically. So that's the one that, to me, which has the most available evidence, really. But again, like I say, don't believe what I'm saying. I don't want people to believe me that. I'm not in that game. This is about establishing the truth for yourself, because It's very, very important.
So we shouldn't assume that what we're being told is the truth.
Think for yourself.
We should never assume
should
that.
Never assume that. You know, should never assume that.
Andrew, great to see you again. Thank you for coming in. And I know it will have caused people to have a variety of responses to the things we've been discussing this morning. That's Andrew Johnson from Borrowash. And he is, and I will get it right this time, alternative knowledge investigator. Got it right. Not conspiracy theorist. We're not going with that. An alternative knowledge investigator. Get in touch. Let me know what your thoughts on that.